ticketed, she found a broken window in the door, in the entry doorway of a business on McLaughlin Boulevard in Arlington. And rather than just ignoring it, rather than, you know, going into the place, she sought out the officer that gave her the ticket to tell him about it, because she's concerned. She shares the values of the community. I'm not sure that if I have to reduce these salaries by one half or two thirds to accommodate right-handed delivery, that I would have that kind of person on route. I think I would have a completely different kind of person. I think that officer might have considered, when he changed his mind, that he may have to worry about that carrier finding that window, rather than relying on that carrier to tell him about it when they found that window. And basically, that's why I'm here, is to ask you for support for the bill, so that we can do the job in the professional manner that we've done it in the past.
Thank you very much. Any further questions, Representative Miller?
In relation to Dan Fouts?
Huh?
Any relation to Dan Fouts?
No, not even the money. I would like to comment that I don't know who wraps those rubber bands around the newspapers, but I know the same laws of physics apply when they find a tube that has three papers in it and they put the fourth paper in it. It's the same analogy. And I would like to point out to you that the final two pages of my testimony are, I'm not going to read them, but they are testimony from one of my drivers who is now getting trying to get a college degree, has been with me for 8 years. 40 years old lady who's married. Obviously, she's put kids through college. She's an excellent driver. And
you do have emergency flashers working.
Oh, yeah. We trained them.
I'm glad you brought this to our attention. I think that's important.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, as the young man said about the mopeds, we, in the Oregonian newspaper business, are the most, we know the most about safety on the roads in terms of left-handed delivery. We are the experts. And so we do pass this information on to the carriers so that they become as expert at it as we are. And indeed, they're better at it than I am, because I don't deliver as many papers as they do now. So they are the experts on safety in the middle of the night. I think I've had a couple loose ends
No, I don't think you do. I think you did fine.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I have a couple things here that I wrote down as a result of other testimony that I heard that you posed questions on. I would like to mention that the reason that this room is not filled with people, with agents and carriers and so forth, is the fear, probably an irrational, but a fear nonetheless, of reprisal for having brought this whole thing to light. This has not been brought to light until this point because of the fear that if the bill fails, then we don't have an the police institutions may feel inclined to enforce the law. That's the reason this has never been raised before, and that we've done it persona gratis with the police without being able to legally. And I think you can tell by how much effort we go to avoid right-handed delivery how important this is to us. I could get a ticket a day for driving on the left-hand side of the road, and it would probably still, well, that's probably not true. But anyway, a ticket every other day, and it would still be less economical for me to go to the right-hand side than it would be to continue on the left-hand side with the tickets. That's all I have to say.
Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Any further, anyone willing to or wanting to testify? No more. Well, we're in work session on House Bill 2811.
Mr. Chairman,
I recommend to move it. We move it out with a due pass.
Representative Norris has moved that we move House Bill 2811 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? No discussion. Pamela, call the roll, please.
Representatives Hayden?
Aye.
Norris?
Aye.
Young?
Aye.
Rajani?
Aye. Right.
Whitty.
Aye.
Who's going to get
House Bill 2811 has received a unanimous due pass. We will pass it to the floor.
It's his.
Oh, that's right. It's yours. Excuse me.
He's going to carry the bill.
Representative Hayden will carry the bill on the floor of the House. Thank you very much.
Are you going to have any kind of demonstration?
Thank you. Dylan's going to ride down the aisle.
Well, the democratic process has worked. You've seen it.
I thought it was Republican.
No. Well, yeah, partially that, too.
I'd like to reconsider my vote.
Let's see, we have House Bill 2775.
2775.
That's what I have. 2775.
What have I got?
Is that not true?
That's right.
And that is a committee bill, and Representative Menis is here.
This is wrong. To testify.
Hi,
John. Good morning.
Good morning.
We're now in public hearing on House Bill 2775. Representative Menis.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I am here. I'm Representative Menis from District 20 in Portland. I'm here to testify on House Bill 2775, which started out to be a reasonably simple bill, which would have simply required that the temporary registration given when a person purchases a motor vehicle or the temporary trip permits that are used when a car, for instance, does not pass the Department of Environmental Quality's emission control tests is issued by the Department of Motor Vehicles so that they can drive the car temporarily on the street, would be moved from the placement in the front left windshield to the back left window of the vehicle. Now, the reasoning behind this is very simple in that as a law enforcement officer, I should state that I'm also a Portland police officer and have been for a little over 10 years. Been involved in working the street and traffic enforcement. The problem that a lot of police officers run into is that as you're following a car down the street, particularly in the metropolitan areas, those that have the DEQ regulations, you'll oftentimes follow a car that has either expired plates or does not have a visible vehicle plate at all. The police officer then has to either drive up alongside the vehicle or somehow peer through the windows to see whether or not there is a temporary tag in that window, and making a determination or decision as to whether they want to stop that car and verify that, in fact, they do either have plates or current registration.
Mm-hmm.
So the justification was to move it to that back left window so that the officers could see it. We had added some amendments to the bill to hopefully move in a direction similar to the state of Washington and the state of Florida, where rather than keeping the temporary permit at its current size, which I believe is about 5 inches by 4 inches in size with very small printing, that we could somehow escalate the size to a larger, perhaps the size of a license plate itself with larger printing that says either temporary permit or temporary license.
Representative Brigiotti.
This brings me back to a couple of sessions ago where we were talking about visibility from the car, illegally putting bumper stickers and those kinds of things on. Now, I'm wondering under this statute if we're changing that, because we had quite a discussion at that time. Is this a visible permit? In other words, can you look through it?
Well, Representative Brigiotti, let me give you just a little bit of my opinion first off, too, and I was not present for that conversation, but as you're well aware, there are many cars that are currently on the street now which use the restricted glazing, and I understand that is in violation of Oregon law currently. Okay. They also use louvered windows, and there are panel vans that are created without rear windows at all but utilize rear view mirrors. This particular device that I'm talking about does, in fact, escalate the size and is something that you would not be able to see through, so in fact could obscure the vision if it was placed inappropriately in line with the rear view mirror. These are some examples that the committee administrator had gotten for me. Here's one from the state of Florida, which is approximately the same size as a license plate, and then here's another one from the state of Washington, which is somewhat smaller. But the benefit of this is that it simply provides the law enforcement agencies who are there to control the traffic and make sure that we all have appropriate registrations and permits to drive our cars, that in fact we do have those permits. It also would assist, I think, in the metropolitan area of Portland with, some perhaps unnecessary traffic stops that arise because maybe you work in the northeast Portland area or the southeast Arrow Heights or Lentz District where there's a predominantly lower income group of
citizens who are driving older cars that have difficulty passing the Department of Environmental Quality's emission control standards. What happens in that area of town is a lot of people are driving with temporary permits, or they're driving with temporary registrations simply because they cannot get through that program. Oftentimes, the local law enforcement people will stop a vehicle because they don't see the temporary. You stop the person and have sometimes engaged in conversations with the drivers who are irate because you had the audacity to stop them when, in fact, they've got this temporary license in their window. The problem, of course, with the officer was that they just simply couldn't see it and couldn't verify that, in fact, it was a good, valid registration. With respect to
we could use John, the logic here that the Oregon's method of handling temporary registration is simply gives the police officer another reason to pull a car over for to check whatever.
Well, that's quite true.
Amazing that you'd want to give that up.
Well, I don't think that it's. I think it's a balance of things. I think that the officers that I work with and my practice on the street is that. If I'm going to stop somebody, I want to have the appropriate justification for stopping
them. I wish they were all like you, John. I really do.
You know, the difficulty is when you do, subsequently, if you stop someone on the basis of, say, they don't have or you cannot see the current Oregon tag, and let's say they have one and it's valid and I stop them and I've subsequently found that, well, they're suspended. And in the process of getting them out of the car and conversing with them about their suspension of the status, I happen to notice a controlled substance, and it goes downhill. Maybe there's a possession of a weapon in the car. Mm-hmm. There's a controlled substance charge or so on and so forth. So it escalates. And believe it or not, it happens quite frequently in Portland. I've walked up to cars that I've stopped and asked them if they have any weapons in the car. Yes, I've got a .357 Magnum under the front seat. And I say, well, excuse me, but would you step out of the car kind of thing. You know, so when you get into court, though, with those charges, with a felony charge, PCS, they say, officer, why did you stop the person? You say, well, you know, I was following this car, and gee whiz, it didn't have any real license plate. And so I thought, well, I'll go ahead and pull this car over and verify its registration. Defendant gets up there and says, well, excuse me, but I had this Oregon temporary permit right smack dab in the window, and the officer was using it as a pretext excuse to pull my car over. So I think that it could eliminate some potential problems and abuses, perhaps, if there are some, by police agencies where they might use that as a basis for pretext stop. I think one of the philosophies that we use in the department is you can stop anybody for anything because there's always a reason to stop them. If you need a justification, you can create it. I don't ascribe to that particular philosophy. I don't think it's a good practice in law enforcement. I think it's a better practice to have a tool that law enforcement can use to say, you know, this is, in fact, a valid sticker or a valid permit. It also helps, too, by the way, if you're involved in a hit-and-run accident or you observe an accident, you can say, did the car have an Oregon plate on it? You say, no, but it had one of those temporary stickers in the back of the window, because generally if you're watching a victim or the suspect of a crime, traffic crime, fleeing, you're watching them go away from you, not coming at you. So you're generally going to see the back of the temporary registration. Something like this that Florida uses, and I was in Florida recently in December, drove a rental car that had one of these in the back window, and frankly drove it for an entire week and had no difficulty addressing the problem of vision. Most cars today are equipped and often required to have both rearview mirrors on at least the left side of the door, or the rearview mirror in the middle of the windshield at least. So the obstruction problem I don't think is a great problem, although it could be a potential argument against such a move to this kind of a device.
It all depends on the size, I assume, and if it's placed required in the low left-hand corner, the driver, in looking in the rearview mirror, he's where that is in the car. I mean, he's sitting on the left-hand side, and I think if you look out your rearview mirror, you're looking from the middle to the right anyway, pretty much. Mm-hmm. I saw one of those from Washington just not last weekend, but the weekend before. I remember I remarked to you on the floor that I had seen one of those Washington deals, so I know what they look like, and it didn't seem to be any great big hazard as far as I was concerned. Of course, I'm no expert.
And Mr. Chairman, the other option that Department of Motor Vehicles, excuse me, could adopt too would be the construction of these devices, or a certain number of these devices, in a plastic material, thin plastic material, have it printed on plastic.
Or cut the size down, but leave the big numbers there, and put the rest of the stuff that doesn't have to be so large
in smaller print.
That's right. That's a possibility. The other thing, and the reason I was thinking of a smaller plastic, and I'm not sure what the associated cost might be with manufacturing something of that nature, but...
Goes up.
I'm sure it would go up, but the thing is it could be placed in the current license plate bracket.
Before I ask for Representative Hayden's comments, I think it would be appropriate right now for you to give us whatever fiscal impact that you... If you just do that, because we've got to be out of here in 10 minutes.
You bet. Mr. Chairman, members, the cost has gone up, not significantly, but market in the amended version of this bill that's before us. Initially, it was about $1,500 to $2,000 because basically the costs are in redesigning the form, okay? But they only have a year of supply, so, you know, just the design costs and printing the new ones. But then when the amendments were to catch all kinds of temporary permits, initially the bill only did temporary registration permits, so we have two other kinds of permits that are temporary. If you're going to do it to one, decided that you probably should be consistent with all temp permits, and that raised the cost, and now we're at about $7,000.
Okay, fine. Representative Hayden, you have a question?
Well, yeah, just a comment to the Representative Minnis, you know, some Volkswagens and some older cars, Mr. Minnis, that placard you showed us would cover the entire rear window, which I guess would fall under line 10A if the vehicle has no rear window.
That's correct.
Some vans have no rear window.
Yes, I know.
Right.
Mr. Chairman, the other option, too, and I've seen this done, is to take the temporary and wrap it in none other than some kind of a clear, transparent plastic and put it in the license plate holder without actually manufacturing this out of plastic. You could do it where it would not disintegrate in a 20-day period that it's good for.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Miz, I think that's what Florida does with that size. That goes on the car, I do believe, in some kind of lamination.
The car that I was driving, Mr. Lee, was one that had it in the back window. But I did see other vehicles around that had the kind of a construction that you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
And again, on that cost thing, it's the cost is higher the bigger the letters, you know. So if we have something that is 4 inches, it's going to be more expensive than letters that are 2. And that is a high estimate of large letters.
Right.
Chairman.
Representative
Norris. In a temporary situation, is it necessary that they be in sequential numbering? Because I'm sure that would run the cost up considerably. If we could go to a vinyl bumper sticker, and realizing some modern cars have bumpers that are rubber and you can't stick anything to, it seems to me that overcomes the no rear window problem, the too small rear window problem. Of course, you may have to put it over your campaign bumper sticker, but we could make that. Would that work and not have them serially numbered?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative, I really could not answer that question, although I think that there would be some major objections to putting a sticky substance on a bumper. There are people who have objections to putting campaign political...
I know that, but this would be a different situation. This would be for their benefit, not ours.
The rubber base... I didn't have any trouble sticking my Goldschmidt for governor on the rubber, the rubberized bumper of my car.
You've been able to get it off?
I haven't wanted to at this point. Maybe I will want to before the session's over, but
you're getting close to that point.
Any further questions? Thank you very much for coming, and I appreciate your introduction of this measure. It looks like something that we should be dealing with for sure.
I assume everybody's in favor of this, right? There's no testimony.
Mr. Chairman,
we don't know. We have Bill Seeley still to come before us. And if he'd come up and we can get through his testimony in a very, very short period of time, we would then be able to go out and jump up and down and demonstrate on the front wherever we're going.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Bill Seeley with Motor Vehicles Division. House Bill 2775, and I will make this brief. The bill is written. It will have very little impact on the division. The amendments that have been submitted cover our concerns in that initially the bill only applied to temporary registration permits, but there are trip permits that are issued for a different reason, but they're essentially the same thing. They allow the vehicle to operate without permanent registration plates attached to the vehicle. The amendments now encompass those. It also makes provisions if a vehicle hasn't does not have a rear window, that the division will have rulemaking authority to specify where the permit should then be placed. And that would be in the case of recreational trailers, motorcycles, that type of thing.
You could also, Bill, in your rulemaking, make an exception for what Representative Sahaden said as far as a very small rear window in an older Volkswagen Bug, because they do have, I mean, a license plate of any size would just take half the windshield. I assume that in rulemaking you could handle that, too. We don't have to deal with that.
Mr. Chairman, with the language as is, I believe we could handle that. It would end up depending on the size of the permit.
Or, Mr. Chairman,
Representative Hayden,
a farm vehicle that has a small rear window but has a bed constructed on the back so that you don't really see the rear window. You could never see the rear window through 15 cows anyway on a farm truck.
Mr. Chairman,
even after they're gone, you couldn't
see. That's correct, and that's very similar to a pickup truck with a shell that would cover that back window. The other area is then in the size of the permit to make the to increase the readability of the permit. And as Steve went over, we did look at a permit that was about 4x7, and looked at some costs for redoing that. The size and the contrast with whether you're using colors or the size of the letters on the size of the permit drives the cost, obviously. And depending
on what is, I should know this. What is the cost of the temporary permit, the registration permit for a private vehicle, just the ordinary registration, temporary? What is the cost?
Mr. Chairman, you mean the cost to us?
The cost to the person applying for the temporary registration.
Mr. Chairman, the temporary registration permits are issued in lieu of permanent plates, and there is no additional cost.
No additional cost, it's just $20 no matter what.
That's correct.
I want to clarify that. You can buy a seven-day permit, it's a trip permit. Oh, okay.
Any further questions?
I don't want to clarify that because it'll show my ignorance. I'll tell you, I feel ripped off to have to pay $10 a month to keep my Jeep on the road.
Right, I would too.
Mr. Chairman, I just like to make a suggestion through your, do you go through in your form design the same kind of process for public input that you do on rules? Or, I mean, what I want to say is that, or suggest is that this was a law enforcement request and that perhaps you could include the law enforcement officials in your decisions about what is readable. I mean, you know, does it meet their needs? It was Representative Menes, and perhaps some of the state police might be appropriate to contact with regard to your final design.
Mr. Chairman, Steve, we'd certainly do that now that the interest has been
raised. We've got to move this.
Yes.
I would like to.
We've got one more comment.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, there's one other small problem with the bill in that there is a penalty provision for not placing the temporary registration permit in the left-hand corner of the rear window, but there is no penalty provision for not placing a trip permit in the on the left side of the rear window.
How can we clean that up?
That was an oversight on my drafting and going to council. If the members want to make a parallel penalty provision for trip permits, as is in section 4 of this amended bill, that can be accomplished before the bill ever hits the floor and the report is given to the desk.
Fine, we'll do that.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Can I have a motion on this bill, please?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I would move the amendments to House Bill 2775, including the recommendation to address the section with trip permits.
Representative Young moves the amendments and the recommendation to amend on penalties for trip permits for House Bill 2775. Pamela.
Representatives Norris.
Aye.
Young.
Aye.
Pujati?
Aye.
Hayden?
Did you ever see the register trip permit?
Aye.
Witte?
Aye.
I don't see it here.
Now,
Mr. Chair,
Representative Young,
if the amendments are accepted, I would move House Bill 2755 to the 75 to the floor with a due pass recommendation
Representative Young moves House Bill 2775 to the floor with a due pass recommendation as amended. Pamela.
Representatives Young.
Aye.
Majotti.
Aye.
Hayden.
Aye.
Norris.
Aye.
Whitty.
Aye. House Bill 2775 is moved to the floor with a due pass. Representative Minnis will carry the bill. We're adjourned. Thank you very much.
I was sabotaged. I had the wrong bill jacket.